Andy, who always has these folded and ready for me, which is greatly appreciated. Okay, you did pencils today. You did joke. There you go, bud. As our pencils and papers are getting passed out, we are on lesson number 3 of this this series tonight. Lesson number 3 in our study of A Season to Celebrate, experiencing God's grace in the busyness of this season. Thank you, sir. We're on lesson number 3, and it's A Season to Worship. A Season to Worship. And our text verses are in Luke chapter 1 tonight. Luke chapter 1, I'll go ahead and I'll start off and I'll read those here. Luke chapter 1, and then it's verses 26 to 38. It's a little bit of a longer passage to start here. Luke 1, verse 26 says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Let's hang on for a second. Okay, go sit with me a moment. "And behold," verse 36, "and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God, nothing should be impossible." Verse 38, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Let's pray. Lord, as we go to start this study tonight, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. And as we are going to embark on this study of talking about a season to worship, we learn some examples here just from the life of Mary here that, again, with the season and everything going on, that we would realize that it is a season to worship, and ask you to be with us tonight, but focus on your word. Help me facilitating the lesson, just be able to I can block out distractions as much as we can, Lord, and to focus on your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And the weeks leading up to Christmas are supposed to be full of peace and happiness, but often they're times of worry and stress, as we all know. Now, when we find ourselves too caught up in the materialism of the season, we need to refocus by remembering that Christmas really is about God's perfect gift, capital G, to us. Because refocusing our hearts and our minds can help us worship rather than worry, as we remember who Jesus is and why he came. So some goals with the lesson tonight, kind of interesting here. First one is we identify the characteristics of Jesus' name, which we'll look at. Number two, we would recognize the correct response during times of worry or uncertainty. And then number three, that we'd understand that God uses people as they're yielded to him. just as Mary was. So jumping into our lesson here. Christmas is the biggest commercial holiday, not a surprise, in the U.S., responsible for hundreds of billions of dollars spent on decorations, food, and of course, you know, the perfect gift for loved ones. Of course, many people begin their Christmas shopping even before Thanksgiving and take full advantage of retailers' Black Friday, Cyber Monday sales. The weeks leading up to Christmas are again supposed to be filled with peace, but they're often filled with worry and stress. And amid that excitement and bustle, we can easily become so frazzled that we lose sight of what it's all about. Since perhaps that's what author E.B. White meant when he observed, "To perceive Christmas through its wrappings becomes more difficult every year." Interesting if you think about that. If we want to avoid the stress associated with the material concerns of the Christmas season, we need to turn our focus upward to the one whose birth that we celebrate. And Isaiah 9, verse 6 should be the first verse there.
"For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace."
The truth of the season is that Jesus came to be Prince of Peace for all who believe. The Scripture teaches three promises of peace that are available through Christ. And the first one is peace from God. Romans 1, verse 7.
"To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ."
This is peace from God. Second is peace with God. Romans 5, 1.
"We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ."
And then third, there's peace of God. Philippians 4, 7.
"And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus."
Christ's coming was foretold by our sovereign God. Now in Luke 1, now we see that Mary received a special visit from the angel Gabriel. Now the mention of Gabriel's name here isn't random. This was the same angel that had come to the prophet Daniel some 550 years earlier to give a prophecy concerning this coming Messiah. And then Daniel 9, verse 24 to 27.
70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy.
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of his mantle to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again on the wall, even in troubled times.
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
God brought his son into the world at the exact moment and in the exact way that he planned. Galatians 4:4.
When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law.
The announcement of Jesus' coming was intended to bring peace to troubled hearts, both in those days and then still today. And when we understand the miraculous message that Jesus came to earth to be our Savior and Prince of Peace, we can truly worship him during this season. Now, in our last lesson, we considered how Joseph came to understand the announcement of Christ's coming. So this week, we're going to see how the announcement came to Mary. And we'll see how his presence brings peace to our troubled lives. So point number one, we see the, starts with an M of peace. Master? Message, the message of peace. the message of peace. Notice that Gabriel was sent at a specific time. You'll see in verse 26, in the sixth month, to a specific place, a city of Galilee named Nazareth, and to a specific person, a virgin espoused to a man whose name is Joseph. Just as the mention of Gabriel's name wasn't random, neither was any other detail of this announcement. See, subpoint A, it was given in A, two words, first is an H and the second's a P. My historical perspective. Humble place, that is correct. Given in a humble place. Given in a humble place. One might imagine that God could have picked a more impressive town for the birth of his only son, Messiah. You think Nazareth was a small, poor Jewish village that had no trade routes and was of little economic significance to the region. Of course, that wasn't anything like Jerusalem, which was central to the nation, would have been a fit birthplace for a king. But God is not impressed with the magnitude of a city. In fact, great works of God often start in small places and people that have a great commitment to the Lord. Nazareth reminds us that God's not looking for accomplishments of man's doing. He's looking for people with a heart for him. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 to 29.
For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called.
But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
And base things of the world, and things which are despised, have God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are.
That no flesh should glory in his presence.
In Nazareth, God found a woman that was completely yielded to his purpose for her life. And so that was the place that he chose to use. One Sunday school teacher asked her class, who do you think was the most important woman in the Bible? Eric raised his hand and answered, Eve. Why do you think Eve was the most important, the teacher asked. Because they named two holidays after her, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. Mary isn't necessarily the most important woman in the Bible, but she did play a very vital role in our Savior's birth. And in no area of her life is that role more clearly seen than in her holiness and in her purity. See, subpoint B, it was given in a humble place and also given to, same two words, H and a W. Well, H and a W. Given to a woman is the second one. Not humble. Holy, yes. Given to a holy. Now, as we saw in our last lesson, again, it was emphasized, again, I was studying this afternoon, again, how much this is brought out as well, that Mary was a morally pure woman. Now, in today's text, we see that that's emphasized in the question that she herself asked to Gabriel, Luke 1:34.
Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?
Last week, we also noted that the Holy Spirit emphasized Mary's purity throughout Scripture to protect this doctrine, the virgin birth of Christ. You see it in Matthew's Gospel. You see it at least three times here in Luke. And then it's also mentioned in the Old Testament, again, very clearly and deliberately spelled out. Oh, Matthew 1:18.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
Isaiah 7:14.
Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
It's interesting, even on the same topic, if you go over to chapter 2 in the familiar Christmas story passage, verse 5, talking about Joseph going up from Galilee to Nazareth, says to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Specifically still called that there. So in a society where the, of course, media often mocks commitment to purity, the Bible emphasizes that Mary was a godly woman who can serve as an example to young women today. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7.
Refuse the pain of our wife's stables and exercise itself rather unto godliness.
Now Mary was not unique financially or socially, but she was a ready vessel for bringing the Son of God into this world. Further, she sought to follow God's will for her life, and she was a woman favored by God. Verse 28 of our text says that Gabriel addressed her with, "Hail, thou that art highly favored," meaning she was full of grace. And what a tremendous testimony that that was. Which brings us to point number two. We see the, starts with an R for worship. Reason, yes. The reason for worship. Consider what Mary was hearing from Gabriel, Luke 1:31. That was the greatest news that the world would ever hear. And it was certainly the most important news that Mary had ever been given. But if we put ourselves in her shoes, we can understand why her response was not peaceful or joyful. Mary likely felt a good measure of fear as she asked, verse 34, "How shall this be?" Now, often when God is working in our lives, we won't understand what's going on or how he's about to work. Therefore, his ways can seem troubling. But just as Joseph had a choice, so did Mary when faced with a troubling time. Trust herself and her emotions, or to trust God. And as she listened to the angel, Mary heard some things about Christ that would calm her fear and give her reason to worship. Subpoint A, we see, because of Christ, starts with a P. Not promise. Not plan. Not purpose. Nope. It's P. It is PR as the first two letters. Not promise. PRE. Not prescription. Presence, yes, because of Christ's presence. The angel told Mary that the baby's name was to be Jesus. Anybody know what that means? What's the name Jesus mean? He will save. Think about the name of Jesus. It tells us who he is. Consider just a few of the characteristics of his name here. The first one is his name is easy. The Bible gives many names that are hard to pronounce and even harder to remember. How many people named Tilgath-Pilneser? Or Mahershalal Hashbaz, if you ever heard of. And the name of Jesus is simple and memorable. Even those who hate the name of Jesus know it. How many times have you ever heard Sennacherib use as a curse word? We see not only is his name easy, his name is esteemed. Jesus' name and his work are known throughout the world. And Paul wrote that one day all will bow at the name of Jesus. Philippians 2, 9 through 11.
Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth.
And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
On that note, that's a good witnessing opportunity. And instead of a curse word, you just use like Sennacherib or something like that. Like, what's that? There you go. Gives you maybe not the best opening to a conversation. I don't know. Not only is his name easy and his name is esteemed, his name's also enduring. Now, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, Scripture declares that the name of Jesus, which existed in eternity past, and it will continue forever. Revelation 22:13.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
You see also that his name is exclusive. The name of Jesus is wonderful and more special than any other name because it's only through Jesus that we can find salvation. Acts 4:12.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
The name of Jesus is the one that we should love, protect, and exalt. Although we live in a society that treats his name carelessly as a curse word and then takes offense when Christians pray in Jesus' name. We worship when we hear the name of Jesus, even as Mary did as she heard the news of this wonderful name. It brings us to sub-point B. We see because of Christ's, Arthel starts with a P. Position, not person. It's perfection. I'll give you that because we'd be here a while guessing that one. Because of his perfection. Mary's fears were calmed as she was told more about this gift from God to the world. Luke 1, then verse 32 to 33.
He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end.
One family learned the hard way that it's not necessarily the thought that counts when it comes to Christmas gift giving. An elderly aunt who was tired of trying to figure out the perfect gifts for her family decided one year to give everybody gift cards. So she purchased a selection of greeting cards to accompany her gift and penned inside each, "Buy your own Christmas presents," before mailing them out. She soon noticed that her family members were behaving kind of strangely toward her, as if she'd offended them. But it wasn't until one afternoon, while cleaning out her junk drawer in her house, that she discovered the reason for that. Inside the drawer was the stack of gift cards she'd purchased, and then she forgot to mail them with the Christmas cards. To buy your own Christmas presents. I already read that part. We all know what it's like to spend time looking, though, for that one perfect gift for our loved ones, something that they've always wanted, or maybe that they never realized that they wanted, but it's perfect for them. In all our searching and then researching, sometimes we get it right, and the excitement on their face brings us joy. Now, of course, sometimes we get it wrong, like that lady did, but God knew mankind so well that he knew exactly what we needed and sent the perfect gift, Jesus. And when we give the gift of Jesus to others by sharing the gospel with them, we can rest assured that it's a perfect fit for them. He alone is what the world still needs today. So when we consider Christ's perfection, we're reminded first of his nature in that he is God. We see that he's eternal God. And notice these verses, John 1:14.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
And the word spoken of course, in this verse is Christ, the eternally pre-existent Son of God. Genesis 1:1.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
John 1:1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
We see he's also fully God. Now, many people will acknowledge that Christ was a good person, a great teacher. Some will even go as far as to say he was a powerful prophet, like in Islam. But the virgin birth and the way that Christ came into this world testify that Jesus is so much more than a teacher or a prophet. He's God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, and fully God. Colossians 2:9.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
See, he's also called God. Now, we may not fully understand the doctrine of the Trinity while we're on this side of heaven, but all we need to know is that in the scriptures, Jesus is called God, and we therefore believe that he is. Hebrews 1:6 to 8. Is that one not on the sheet there? Okay. It says, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, he maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Jesus Christ is God. To deny his name is to deny his deity. Also, when Christ came to earth, he was born of the house and lineage of David. The last half of verse 32 says, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, Jesus' nation was Israel. His tribe was Judah. And his family was of the house of David. Matthew 1,
verse 1.
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
Now, as one from the line of David, Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecies that made to David concerning the coming of his eternal kingdom. You see that in 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 13.
And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom.
You shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.
It's true that Jesus did not establish an earthly kingdom here yet. Those who should have bowed the knee rejected him during his first coming. John 1, verse 11.
And he came unto his own, and his own received him not.
Revelation 19:16 is about the second coming of Jesus as the King of Kings, where he will establish his kingdom then and peace on earth. Revelation 19:16.
And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Now those of us who know Jesus as Savior are not waiting for his return to worship him. We worship, or should, every day. And we enjoy the Christmas season to give a focus on worshiping him and thanking him for his coming to save us. And that brings us to point number three, which is the, starts with a C, of Mary. This one might be harder to get to. The consent. The consent. Do you ever feel amazed that God would send his son to live a perfectly sinless life, give himself for all mankind, just because he loves us, yet people refuse to believe it? In verses 34 to 38, we see a principle in Mary's life that we should duplicate. She chose to believe and to obey. Mary's troubled heart and her multitude of questions were quieted as she began to realize who Jesus was. And just like today, her world was full of people who needed the gift that would be given by God through her. She heard all that the angel declared of God's will and his word, and she determined to believe and to submit herself to him. Luke 1, verse 38.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.
You see, subpoint A, she consented to God, starts with a W. Will. She consented to God's will. No doubt God's plan could have unfolded with or without Mary's consent. You know, he's God, after all. But he asks us to yield our wills to him. Even Jesus did this as he neared Calvary. Luke 22:42.
Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done.
William Barclay once said that the most popular prayer is, thy will be changed. But the greatest prayer on earth is, thy will be done. That's what Mary was saying with her words. Even though she couldn't comprehend the magnitude of God's plan, she essentially said, Lord, you're at work here. I don't know how exactly, but do what you want to do through me. We see subpoint B, she consented to God's, also starts the W. Word, yes, she consented to God's word. Mary's choice came down to this. Was she going to trust the word of God? Could she believe that everything would happen just as the angel said, or was she going to trust herself? Andrew Murray said, God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him. We will find, as Mary did, that when we determine to trust God's word, we're putting ourselves in hands that are more than capable of caring for us. Better still, as we trust his word, we learn that it never fails. Jeremiah 29, verse 11.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
1 Kings 8:56.
Blessed be the Lord that had given us rest unto his people Israel.
According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant.
As Mary yielded herself to be used of God, she was able to get a front row seat to witness his great work of bringing Jesus into the world. And this caused her to worship him. See, the further on in this chapter here, Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 55.
And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord.
And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior.
For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed.
For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name.
And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation.
He hath showed strength in his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts.
He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree.
He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away.
He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy.
As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever."
So in conclusion, as you make your Christmas lists and check them twice, make sure that you're setting yourself up for a season of worship rather than of worry and stress. Worship is made possible as we, like Mary, believe the word of God about who Jesus is and why he came. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, I don't think that's on your sheet. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Worship comes as we yield our will to God's will, and we can find peace in resting in his promises. So that concludes the lesson tonight. So go to some questions here to finish it. Number one, it says, how do we avoid the stress associated with the materialism of Christmas? Specifically, I know it was laid out in here. Yep, kind of that turning our focus on Christ, which is the reason that we celebrate. Number two, what are the three promises of peace made available through Christ?
Peace from God.
Peace with God. And peace of God. Yep, there's three aspects of peace there. Number three, how is Christ's coming foretold through the angel Gabriel? Specifically, and talking about that he was sent to Gabriel, or Gabriel was sent to Daniel, that's what I'm trying to say, you know, some 500 years before he was actually there, giving the message to Mary there, giving a prophecy about the Messiah's coming, the 70-week prophecy there in Daniel 9. Number four, what is worship? Could be a loaded question, giving God what he wants. Kind of as it was laid out in here, no, respect and adoration for who God is and what he's done. Another way to put it. Number five, why was Bethlehem a strange place, perhaps, for Jesus' birthplace, or even Nazareth a place for Mary, where Mary would come from? Poor village with very just little economic significance to the region. Number six, what was so special about Mary? She was pure, full of grace, a godly woman. Number seven, what do we know about the name of Jesus? Kind of some things that were mentioned there. It's easy. Has a meaning to it. It's memorable, right? Probably one of the most well-known names in all the world, right? It's eternally enduring, and then it's above every name. It's number eight. What was Mary's response to the angel's announcement? Maybe start at the beginning. What was her initial response? kind of troubled, right? In the beginning, she's kind of initially troubled. But then what? Then what else? She chose to believe God's word and then submitted herself to it to be used in that way. Yep. And the verse that kind of concludes everything here, 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So again, thinking about that name of Jesus, no, he will save. Just, it's in his name in that regard. Any thoughts from anybody before we close out tonight? Anything maybe stood out to you? Okay, okay, let's go ahead and close. Lord, we thank you for the lesson tonight. And again, just a reminder for us on this season being a season to worship for us. And again, thinking about just the specifics of the of Mary, kind of looking at her life and just how the message was given to her. Again, how she's initially troubled, but then she chose to place herself in your will and to follow what you told her and to trust you for that. Again, that's quite an example to us today still. And ask that you would just give us wisdom and courage to do what you want us to do. Despite any opposition from either our flesh or besides that, Lord. And I ask that you would just give us safety as we go to our homes and then bring us back again on Wednesday. In Jesus' name, amen.